Today is the third Sunday in the season of Lent. Lent is a folk. Can you guys hear me? I'm not hearing myself. Are you hearing me clearly? Because I don't want you to miss a word. Okay. Today is the third Sunday in the season of Lent. Lent is a very focused time of self-examination, renewal, and recommitment to the Christian life. Just as Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness preparing for his ministry, so we use this time to prepare ourselves to live more fully as God's people, to take examination of our own lives, to make decisions about who we want to be. Our Lenten sermon series is called Under Construction, which is why you see what you see up front here. We are discovering how God wants to radically renovate our inner lives. We are under construction by the great carpenter, Jesus Christ. We are a work in progress. We are disciples in formation. How many of you are familiar with the great preacher, Billy Graham? Anyone hear of him? He died a little over a week ago at 99 years old. His funeral was this week. He was an icon of the Christian faith. Millions have been to his crusades. Raise your hand if you've been to a crusade or seen one on TV. Quite a few of us. So many of us have been impacted in some way by his ministry. Well, many years ago, I was getting ready to attend seminary to become a pastor, and I applied for a scholarship from my Baptist church. You see, they gave scholarships to all of their young people who went to seminary. But they decided not to give me a scholarship because they thought only men should be pastors. Now, the pastor himself, he felt terrible about that decision, and my parents were none too happy with that sexist decision. So he called to talk to my parents, and he got my mother. And when he was talking with my mother, she said to him, "Don't you realize that my daughter will become the next Billy Graham?" So here I go. Always good to have people who believe in you. But I have had to surrender the fact that for many reasons, I will not be the next Billy Graham. Let's pray together as we prepare to explore today's focus, nothing short of surrender. God, as we hear your words read and shared, open our ears so that we can hear. Would you free us from distractions, from all of those things running through our mind, competing for our attention? Free us from those so that we can listen. Open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine. And God, would you open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message for us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. In today's scripture lesson, Luke brings together the story of two people who met Jesus at a very critical time in each of their lives. By observing the renovation they needed in their lives, we discover something about the kind of construction that God wants to do within our lives. The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all tell the story of the first person. Mark simply calls him a man. Luke identifies him as a certain ruler. Matthew says he was young. They all agree that he was rich, and as a result, he has become known as the rich young ruler. He had positions and power and possession. He was a faithful person. He had kept all the laws. He regularly attended the synagogue. He was a very, very good man by societal standards. And yet this very good man who was following his religion, still he had an inner emptiness. He had a yearning within him for something more. He wanted something spiritual. He wanted the life that he had witnessed in Jesus. That life that would be so alive with the presence of God that even death couldn't overcome it. He was searching for more than just religion. He was searching for meaning and purpose. And so he asked Jesus an important question. He said to Jesus, What must I do to get eternal life? Have you ever asked a question like that? I know people like this man. By the world's standards, they seem to have it all. But the truth of the matter is that they are kind of empty on the inside, always in search of the next thrill, grasping for the next rung on the ladder, creating drama to keep them engaged in life, wanting something they have never found and can't even name. All sorts of people, in all sorts of ways, are asking that question, what must I do to get eternal life? I've even known people in the church who are like this man. They keep the rules. They come to church regularly. They serve on committees. They put money in the offering plate. They are good people. And so they don't understand why they feel spiritually void or feel at least that there must be something more. When you're deeply honest with yourself, is that sometimes a picture of you? Like this rich young ruler, are you searching for some kind of spiritual renovation in your life? Scripture says that Jesus looked at this young man and loved him. Loved him so much that he wanted to give him exactly what his heart was yearning for. Jesus looked into this young man's heart and saw what kept him from living fully in the kingdom of God, something that had blocked the flow of God's grace in his life, something that stood in the way of the salvation that he so desperately yearned for. What was it that stood in his way? Scripture tells us that for him it was his wealth. It wasn't that he possessed so many things, but that his so many things possessed him. The problem wasn't in his wealth, it was in him. He was a slave to his position and possessions and power. And Jesus asked him to surrender his wealth, to give it up, to give it away, because that was what was getting in his way of really and truly having life. In addition, this young man didn't seem to understand that there is nothing he can do or earn or buy to get salvation. He had to let go of his own illusion of control and accept God's gift. That it's God's gift, that it's grace. This young man, according to our story, left Jesus with a heavy heart. Because he just couldn't let go of control, couldn't let go of his things. And did you know that we never hear of this man again? We have his story, but we don't even know his name. The second story for today is someone whose name we do know. His name is Zacchaeus. Luke tells us that Zacchaeus, in addition to being a little man, was a chief tax collector in Jericho, which means that he was very wealthy. It also means that he was probably quite corrupt. We've talked before about how tax collectors would often collect far more than what was required of them by the government, and then they would pocket the excess for themselves. Zacchaeus was likely not a good man at all by society standards. He hadn't kept the commandments. He was cut off from the community of faith. Like the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus was searching for something so much more than money can buy. You see, he too was feeling spiritually empty, spiritually dry. So what did he do? He climbed a tree to get to look at Jesus. In contrast to the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus actually found what he was looking for. You see, Jesus looked at him just as Jesus had looked at the rich young ruler, and to him, Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I must go to your house today." And Zacchaeus responded to Jesus' invitation. He responded to the offer of grace. He hurried down from the tree and welcomed Jesus into his home and into his life. Freed from thinking that he could somehow save himself, freed from his slavery to wealth, Zacchaeus said, "Half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus proclaimed, "Today salvation has come to this house." Both the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus, they were searching. They were searching for the life that only Jesus could give them. They were both needing to be saved, to be set free, to be liberated, to be given purpose and meaning in life. Do you know what salvation is? Salvation is receiving God's gift of grace, knowing it is God who gives us life now and God who gives us life eternally. Salvation is being set free of anything that keeps us experiencing the real abundant life that comes from God, the life that really is life. You see, salvation, it's a gift of grace, a gift we receive, and it's also an experience that we choose over and over and over again. Both of our stories today are stories about money and wealth. Jesus taught a lot about money, and this is one of those instances. But do you realize that neither of these stories is really about money at all? These stories are about whatever it is that binds us, that keeps us spiritually empty, that blocks our hearts from relationship with God. They are stories about whatever it is that we are holding back, whatever we are not willing to let go of in order to have abundant life. For some of us, it may be our wealth that gets in the way of the renovation that God wants to accomplish in us. But that bondage, that block in our heart, it can be so many things. It might be pride, power, prestige, or position. It might be selfishness or self-centeredness that arises from deep insecurity. It might be addictions that are taking your life and the life of those around you. It might be a victim mentality that comes out of past hurts and memories of abuse. It might be worry, fears, struggles that keep us awake at night and steal joy from us. It might be resentments that you cling to, forgiveness you withhold. It might be an overcommitment to our careers. It might be racial, cultural, relational, sexual, or political prejudice. It might be an insistence that everyone sees and understands the way we see and understand. It might be the way we use our time and energy and resources. It might be the places we go, the things we do, the people we spend time with, the sites we visit on the internet. I don't know what it is for you that keeps you from salvation, from the fullness of life that God intends you to have. But I do know this. I know that Jesus loves you, and that whatever is keeping you from the life God wants from you is where the inner construction and inner renovation needs to begin. Radical renovation. It's dependent upon our willingness to surrender whatever it is to Christ. It's inviting Jesus to look deep into our souls and help us see that which is keeping us from having our spirits filled. Both of the men in our stories this morning, they were both given a choice. to surrender that which was in their way of following Jesus, that which was keeping them from full connection with God and others and themselves. The rich young ruler, he went away sad and lost. Zacchaeus went home happy, freed, and saved. Friends, beloved ones in Christ, did you know that these choices come to us too? Choices to surrender those things that keep us from life. Sometimes these choices come in dramatic, life-altering moments that make a radical change of direction in our lives. But most of the time, these choices come in the ordinary, practical, seemingly insignificant daily decisions that shape our relationship with Christ and shape our life. So here's the question for you. The question for me. Will we be like the rich young ruler who turned and walked away sad? Or will we choose to be like Zacchaeus, who heard Jesus say, "Salvation has come to this house"? It can be oh so difficult to surrender. But if we want the radical, life-giving renovation that Jesus Christ offers, if we want to become all that God created us to be, if we want to become fulfilled from the inside out, if we want our spiritual emptiness filled, then we must be willing to surrender anything that blocks the flow of God's grace in our lives. Will we be willing to let Jesus look deeply into our hearts and see and make known to us anything that is getting in the way of right connection with God and others and ourselves? Will we allow God to really love us, to help us let go of whatever it is that is keeping us in bondage so that the grace of God can flow freely in us and through us? Will we go away sad? Or will we find that life that really is life? Let us pray. Gracious God, would you give us the courage so that we might hold nothing back but surrender all of it to you? Help us see and let go of anything that keeps us from the fullness of life that you created us to have. And as we surrender to you, may we find real life and purpose and meaning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.